Are you looking how to maybe start out your new company or scale your business? Well, tune in this episode to learn how someone went from scratch to a seven-figure land investor. Here next. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you are listening to us. This is Kyle Moody with the business development team at American IRA coming to you with another presentation from the IRA Cafe. And today, if you have ever questioned the platform of Bitcoin, you've either been too scared to ask, you just really are wanting to know more about it, wondering if it's for you, or even if you are the seasoned investor in Bitcoin, trust me, you are not alone. People that are going to be listening to us and even me today, some of the questions I'm asking are going to be some things that I want to learn from as well. And so to expand on this, we have a wonderful guest who has joined us today, Bo Turner, who is the co-founder and CEO of Abundant Minds out in Bend, Oregon, which is a long way from where I am right now, is joining us to the program today. I met Bo and his team at FinCon out in Oregon almost 2 months ago. And FinCon, as you remember, you've heard me talk about on a couple of platforms here, was the conference where it is really social media platforms, how we can really get the word out on these podcasts, webinars, and everything else. And so Bo and his team were there, and we started talking about how folks can use crypto or Bitcoin in their IRA. And we'll talk about how that can work with American IRA later on in the show. But without further ado, I want to welcome you, Bo. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me on, Kyle. It's good to see you again.
Hey, it's good to see you as well. How's the weather out in Bend, Oregon today?
It has just started to get cool. We have a very brief fall out here, but we've got snow on the mountains and it's still very pleasant to be outside. So I couldn't complain. Oh,
good, good. Well, it's hazy and rainy here. So I'm sure that you're probably used to that up there as well. Bo, tell, I've been doing a lot of research. You know, we met and of course had as much of conversations as we could in the busy conference when we were up in Portland there. But if you wouldn't mind just to take a little time and tell everyone a little of your background, what led you to where, you know, you came from, your background in engineering, and how that has led to the success of Abundant Minds.
So the short story is I had an engineering background, had coursework in the data center field, and out of college went straight into the real estate business and building my own real estate company. And that was while I was still living in the Southeast. I grew up in Alabama and went to school in Texas and built my business there. And then by the year 2020, a lot of change was happening in the world, in global markets, and it forced me to re-examine what I wanted to build wealth in. And Bitcoin had been in my orbit for about 5 years at that point. I first started buying in 2015, regretfully, not as much as I wish that I had. Of course, that's most people's stories. They didn't buy as much as they should have when they first saw it. But by 2020, I had enough exposure. I had enough learning to really feel that this was something that I should go deeper in. So rather than diving headfirst into mining, we first started liquidating real estate for Bitcoin itself. But what I was wishing for and what I was most reluctant to give up in my real estate investments was cash flow. And there's very few ways that you can get Bitcoin denominated cash flow. You can either own a business that takes payment in Bitcoin, you can lend out your Bitcoin for Bitcoin denominated interest, or you can mine it. And as an engineer with familiarity with data centers and the love of passive income that gets many people into real estate, I settled on mining and had my first experience where originally I was just looking to be a customer, much like the clients that I serve today in my business. I just wanted to own machines, have them hosted with somebody, and it be a passive income experience. And unfortunately, that did not go well. So I worked with a provider that right after my wife and I got engaged, we were facing a $500,000 loss and really put a damper on our wedding planning experience. But we decided that there wasn't a problem with the investment vehicle. It was just who we were working with, the partner that we chose. So we set out to build our own data center here in Oregon. That was our first facility. And it was just to scratch our own itch, just to solve our own need. And after we had that process going, we realized there's so many other investors just like us who want to be in the space, who see the promise, but they're scared. They don't know who they can trust. And so we opened up our facility to serve other people who wanted to own their own machines and mine and get that passive income, get the depreciation benefits, and really operate a turnkey business in an emerging technology space. And we've now got hundreds of clients who have machines hosted at several sites around Oregon. We've got 5 active sites and building number 6 right now, and thousands of machines under management. And it's just growing like a weed and so much fun.
No, well, thank you so much for that. And as you heard when I was opening up, there may be folks who are listening to us today, and this is the very first time that they're hearing this. This is something completely new to them, but they're interested and they're wanting to know if this is for them. And, you know, in the vacuum of being a little elementary here, if you wouldn't mind, can you spend a little bit of, you know, or briefly talk about if brief is even possible when it comes to this? And by that, I mean, folks who are listening to us, when I think of Bitcoin and all the technology, I'm thinking of something that's fourth and fifth dimensional. It's hard for me to conceptualize sometimes things that, you know, in the tech world that I know it is not in my realm. So, Bo, if you wouldn't mind, spend a little bit of time just talking about Bitcoin itself. I mean, as a matter of fact, where does it come from? If you can give us some history on that and how it ties in to mining today.
Yeah, you're right. This is not something that you can answer briefly and do it any justice, but rather than trying to encompass everything, I'll just give you the taster. And you're right, with anything that's new and emerging tech, you usually have to reason by analogy when you're first getting into it. So try to use as many analogies as I can to describe what is Bitcoin, what is the mining process. So the easiest and probably most apt analogy that most people stick with is comparing Bitcoin to gold. It's a scarce asset. It has a finite or scarce supply. In the case of Bitcoin, it's truly finite. Gold still has an inflation rate. We mine somewhere between 1% and 2% of new gold supply every year, where Bitcoin has this fixed supply cap. It is a digital good, which means that instead of needing to ship thousands of pounds of a bare metal around to engage in commerce, you can click a few buttons on a computer and paste an address, and you've moved anywhere between a few cents to a few $100 billion at the click of a button. And to describe what it is, it's the first monetary protocol that's truly bounded by energy. And why that's important is that every good money that we've ever had throughout human history, gold being the best that we had landed on prior, has had an energy expenditure that makes it very hard to fake, very hard to counterfeit. And in the case of gold, there's this expenditure of resources, of energy, of refinement to get to that finished gold coin that makes it very good as money, because you can't easily fake that you've got gold. Before gold, we had things like glass beads and shells and other precious objects that, depending on the region, might be incredibly scarce and in another abundant. So we've kind of had this iterative process of figuring out what is the best form of global money to use, of a global reserve asset. And in my opinion, Bitcoin is the best money that we've ever seen. And it is not natural money like gold that exists in the earth. It is engineered money. So it's been engineered to have all of the characteristics that we want to see in a good money. And for listeners, if you look up the 7 properties of money, that'll be a great primer that goes deeper than I think makes sense for us to go right now. But that kind of outlines the checkbox comparative diagram that'll give you a good sense of why this is such a profound invention. Now, the mining process is part of what makes Bitcoin so interesting and actually makes it scarce, desirable, and bounded by energy. So mining, in the simplest way of describing it, is taking a raw resource, energy, converting it through a computing process, which you could think of as a manufacturing or a refining process, into a finished good, which is Bitcoin. And the reason that mining has value is twofold. Mining is designed to do two very important things for the network. Number one is to secure it from outside attackers. So in any computer network, there is a vulnerability to attack, and you have to put up some sort of computational defense. In this case, it is literally a wall of encrypted energy, so that someone has to spend, at today's rate, a very large nation state's worth of energy on a constant basis to launch an attack on the network. So miners, you can think of as the defense system or the immune system protecting that value for people. And the other thing that miners do that's very important that most people aren't aware of is they actually validate and process transactions. So think of them like an analog to a Visa or a PayPal, basically a payment processor that's taking a fee to move value across the network. And both of those things are happening in the mining process, and they're rewarded in the network's native currency, Bitcoin, for doing that. And I'll stop there because there's so much more we could go into, but hopefully that's a good overview.
Well, and I've got some drill down questions here, and so they're gonna play into a little bit of this, and again, I appreciate you taking us through, because I'll tell you, some of the questions I've gotten in the past are, well, is it a tangible object? You see this really cool looking, thick kind of coin with a B with a dollar sign going through it. Is that just the logo for what's actually virtual? It's not something that actually exists that you're not going to hold in your hand. And a wallet is not something that's going to go in your back pocket, right?
So this is a great question. And I'm going to steal another analogy from our head of customer success, who, if anybody ever gets a chance to meet, please use the time to pick his brain. I would venture a guess that he's probably quite a bit more intelligent than me and one of the best hires we ever made. But one of his analogies...
He just wrote a book?
He did just write a book. Actually, I'll plug it right now. It's on my desk because I'll be interviewing him about it this weekend. But it's called The Ancient Way of the Mind, and his name is Sidney Bright, and he is an absolute gem. Sidney uses this analogy of a glass post office box or safety deposit box. So the Bitcoin network is like this wall of PO boxes where you can see what every person has, but you cannot unlock it without the right key. So the Bitcoin network itself is just an open ledger that lives on thousands of computers around the world. And that's how we know who owns what, who is moving what, where. It's, of course, anonymized. I mean, you can do a lot of sleuthing to eventually find whose identity is tied to what coins if they've exposed themselves in some way. But essentially, you have this open ledger that anybody can see, but only one person can act on their specific PO box. And the way that they do that is with a private key, which for people who've used a computer is effectively just another way of saying a password. So that private key is the key to your PO box and your PO box alone. Even though you can see where everything else is, you cannot touch it or move it unless you have that private key to unlock it and manipulate those funds. So it is not a physical good. However, we use physical goods very often to represent it. So a private key can live on a piece of paper as a 12-word string. It can live on a hardware device. Many people have seen these little devices, of which there are hundreds of different iterations, that hold private keys so that you can sign a transaction. A private key can live on an iPhone app. You can engrave it on metal and bury it somewhere. So it does take a physical representation many times, but it's truly just an information product. And if you think of money as just a hybrid of information and energy, Bitcoin is a great representation of that, because truly by having access to a string of information, you have total control of funds. And that is unique, that you could have essentially a password and it be a bearer asset.
Would it be fair to say then that anybody can be a buyer of Bitcoin, but maybe not everyone can be a miner of Bitcoin?
You know, the funny thing about that is it would be very impractical for everybody to be, well, let me back up. It's easy for you to custody your funds in your head. It is possible for you to mine Bitcoin in your head, though it's very unlikely that you'll be successful. So when we're mining, the computers that we have in our data centers are doing one operation very quickly, and it's the SHA-256 hashing algorithm. So they're essentially guessing hashes trillions, if not hundreds of trillions of times per second, to try and find what is effectively a random number that completes a puzzle and adds a new block of transactions to the blockchain. Now, you can actually do a SHA-256 hash on paper and it be completely valid and submit it to the network that way, and you have the potential of winning a block. So everyone can mine. However, it's probably not economical or efficient for everybody to mine in that way. And it definitely makes a lot of sense to use what equipment is available to you. Just like you could technically go pan for gold in a river by hand, but it's a lot more efficient to have heavy machinery in a place where you know you're going to find large deposits of it.
Okay, so let's delve into really the mining itself and where Abundant Minds comes in to play on this. Someone can come to you for the mining equipment and also for the holding of that equipment, correct?
Exactly. So okay. People come to us, they purchase a miner through us. It lives in our facility here in Oregon, one of our many facilities. We manage it, we maintain it, we make sure that it's clean, that it's operating, that it's online, and that anything that goes wrong is quickly fixed and repaired. So it's meant to be as seamless of an experience as possible to solve all of the issues that my wife and I originally had when we wanted to get into mining. We strove to fix that with our customer experience. And most people who work with us hold these assets in some sort of business entity so that they can get the depreciation advantages and acquire Bitcoin in this more efficient way while also getting a tax offset. So you can also come out to site visits, see how everything works, you know, come and do all of the learning experiences that we put on and have calls with Sydney so that you can understand. I mean, we were talking offline. I think one of the most important things that we do here is we educate people on something that's not widely understood, and I believe is one of the most important inventions in human history. But ultimately, we are providing a service where people can get passive Bitcoin income in a way that doesn't force them to learn a whole new industry overnight.
No, that's wonderful. And I will go ahead and tell everyone out there that I've been doing some extensive research on this. I try not to venture into something and have somebody on and ask them questions that I obviously don't know and completely understand, if understand really at all, the asset class. But it has really propelled a whole new learning for me, and I'm not going to be hopping over there next week to take a look at the facility, as I live just about as far from the facility, unless I live down in Florida. So tell us a little bit about the facility. How is it powered? And is it something that, you know, is under 24-hour surveillance? Does, you know, are there people on call to, you know, because obviously if you have clients around the world or in different parts of even the United States who might be doing things, you know, in the middle of the night after they, you know, have been at their day job all day, is it something that there is always a service that is provided?
So all of our facilities are operating 24/7. They're always monitored 24/7. And the reason one of the reasons that we've chosen to have everything located in Oregon is that logistically we can cover everything with the same team. So every one of our technicians is only a couple hour drive away from any other site. Even if someone is, say, asleep or out of town, we've got this effectively a mesh network of coverage. They are secured. You can see on screen some of our surrounding fencing with barbed wire. We do have people who live on site in some cases. And these sites are in different contexts. So they have different ways of procuring energy. They have different utility agreements. But by and large, we are pulling from one of the cleanest grids in the world, the Pacific Northwest. And that is going to be a mix of about 85% hydropower, 10% nuclear, and then 5% wind, solar, and biogas. So very clean energy sources all throughout the state of Oregon. And all of our new sites that we're planning for are going to have a very similar energy mix, both in Oregon, Washington, Idaho, across the Pacific Northwest.
Some of the testimonials that I saw, that was one of the leading pieces to it, is that people really liked and cared for your use of sustainable energy to power all of this. It is an entire broad vision of not just the new asset class that they want to get into, but, you know, as you said, this is something that is based solely on energy. And in the past decade, it seems that, you know, whether it's, you know, the political aisle or you know, who or whatever, you know, energy is a big topic. And so that was one of the things on a few of the testimonials that I saw that was really a big deal to folks out there. And I'm going to go ahead and take a second here to give a teaser that, folks, if you think that you're already behind, or that if you needed some more background on the product, the mining pieces itself that's housed at Abundant Mines, don't worry so much about that, because you're going to get a chance to see Bo actually when he hosts an entire webinar on our platform. And he's going to lay this out to where this will not be the first time or the last time you'll hear this. And there's probably going to be, I'm sure, some pictures and diagrams and a lot more time that he can lend to this. And of course, you're always going to have his contact information if you want to learn more. So we are looking forward to that webinar with you as well, Bo. So getting into the machines themselves, so these are something that that the miners, that the individuals can own. But, you know, when it comes to self-directed IRAs doing what we do, what we specialize in their case, it has to be purchased and held by the self-directed account. So with that being said, tell us a little bit about, from our perspective and your perspective working with a self-directed IRA client, how they are able to move forward with the limitations, knowing the parameters of what they can and can't do with a self-directed IRA, how that would actually work in mining.
Yeah, of course. I think you brought up the most important point, which is that you've got to have a very clear fence around the entity that you're using. And this applies whether you're talking about a self-directed IRA or just setting up an LLC. I mean, there's a reason that you want to ring fence this in a particular type of structure. It's so that you get the benefits of that structure and don't expose yourself to either unforeseen tax ramifications or liability ramifications. So in the context of most of our clients, they're looking at this from the standpoint of depreciation benefits, you know, 100% bonus depreciation in year one and offsetting active income. But we also have people who look at this as a vehicle for more efficiently acquiring Bitcoin, essentially acquiring Bitcoin at a discount over a long term and letting that grow in the most tax advantaged way possible. So you already mentioned how to do that in some sense. You just have to have it in the right self-directed IRA structure where the business within the IRA owns these machines and properly custodies or has a custodian custody the assets that it's mining, and that you keep that segregated from any personal activity. You don't personally manage it and essentially let it be in its own island. But this is something that we've dealt with several times before. We have quite a few clients who choose to build their Bitcoin position in this type of self-directed IRA structure. And when it comes to properly custodying and properly segregating all of those funds and making sure that you don't expose yourself to any potential disallowance of those tax advantages, that you can sleep at night knowing that you've done everything right and set it up right. But as far as our model's concerned, nothing really changes. I mean, there's a reason that we set it up the way that we did, is because when you own the equipment or your entity owns the equipment and we act as a service provider or manager and you are able to set up your own custody relationship, you have the most flexibility on the back end for how you choose to structure the investment or the business opportunity, depending on how you're looking at it. So that's part of what I love. It's part of what I really enjoyed about real estate and creative financing, was that if I structured things the right way, I could make something work almost 100% of the time, even if most people didn't see how. And that's why we structured our business model the way that we did, is because people don't all have the same cookie cutter life and financial structure. They need to be able to use one tool to fit many purposes and solve many different situations. So hopefully that's a helpful overview, and happy to go deeper on it if you'd like.
No, absolutely. And it may be something that you can even tap into when you're doing the webinar with us. Folks, as he's talking about, they do have people that are using their self-directed IRA to invest in Bitcoin and the machines and doing the mining. And, you know, really just a quick drill down from our perspective, from our point of view, if you don't have a self-directed IRA yet, here with American IRA, it's rather simple. It's an application that you go through, gets processed, and we have that account established for you. And then the next step is getting it funded. So whether that's going to be bringing funds over from a 401k from a previous employer or a current IRA or Roth, or quite frankly, whatever the retirement vehicle is, we have the self-directed version of it. You get that account established and get it funded. Now, here's the next layer that comes in. Bitcoin, the mining, what have you, is not an asset class that we are going to hold directly, but that's okay because we're one of the few companies out there that allows the use of the LLC. And not only do we allow the use of it, you can actually tap into our sister companies that can create the LLC for you. Once that LLC is created and you're able to pick the state that you want that in, and even the banking institution where you'd like to have your funds placed, the only transaction that will happen is when you direct us now to move the money from your IRA into the LLC business bank account. And from there is where you are now going to make the investment into the Bitcoin, into the mining, and also wherein comes Bo and his team. So any questions on that, that is something that we could even tag team together and definitely help you out with if it's a direction that you want to go in. So thanks for letting me give a little bit of the plug on how it works on our end. And then Bo, also you giving some flavor there on how it's going to work on your end as well. And I'm sure that there's going to be times where we will have folks talking to both of us, to your point, to make sure that they're doing it the correct way, as these are their higher, hard-earned retirement dollars. One of the things that I learned in there when I've been studying this is really how the word security is synonymous with mining. And so it seems that the more transactions that happens, it makes, let's talk about that post office box, that glass post office box, even more secure. And if that glass post office box is more secure, then the entire row of boxes is more secure. And then that security grows and grows. Can you tap into that? And if I had it wrong, clean me up on that. But it really was something that you touched on earlier, and things that I have read is about the security of this, where quite frankly, people wonder, well, how secure is my bank? How secure is anything else out there that I do online? But it seems that this is actually a lot secure than most people might think.
You are, there's nothing inherently wrong about what you said. So all I'll do is just add a little bit of color. The Bitcoin network, as far as we know, and it's pretty easy to tell when they're huge blocks of computing like this, is the most secure computing network in the world. So to give you a just quick analogy, a lot of people in the Bitcoin space have this confusion or fear around what happens to Bitcoin when something like quantum computing comes around. And the reality is that pretty much every other system that we rely on to live our daily lives and even all of our financial institutions would be cracked well before the Bitcoin network is. And there's already solutions to completely circumvent that threat. So as it sits today, it is the most secure, the largest block of computing in the world. And even if all of Amazon, Microsoft, Apple, Meta, you know, every big tech company in the world bent every spare electron of data center capacity to try and attack this network, they wouldn't be able to. And it would be both a fool's errand and extremely expensive. And what you were talking about more transactions increasing the amount of security on the network, is also directionally true. So miners are, right now, they are making money by both mining new Bitcoin, so getting the supply that's released onto the market up to that 21 million cap, but they're also paid on transaction fees. And eventually, after the year 2140, but gradually up until then, in the year 2140, the last new Bitcoin is minted. So we're 100% reliant on transaction fees. And so you can think of people using the network as adding to the security budget, if you will. So whenever people are actually using the network, they're contributing to the security because they're effectively paying the guards or paying the military that is securing that network. So the more usage there is, the more transactions, the more transaction fees, you can think of that as a very well-funded Bitcoin military, if you will. And so the further into the future we get that high level of use, the more robust the network is. And, you know, if all we had was what we have today and we didn't grow at all, it would still be the most secure computing network in the world.
If somebody's wanting to get into this, you know, this is something they now have some time to do. They've been researching. What's an average cost that someone can get? Because I take it there are different types of mining machines. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, you can get in at the hobby level and just get something that lives on your desk, but doesn't necessarily make you a lot of money, for about $100. And that's a great learning tool. If you're working with us and it's a for-profit enterprise, our lowest tier unit starts at around 6,000. The highest tier unit is about 9,000. And you can start with as little as a single unit. We have people with one unit. We have people with 10, 25, 50. Up to 500 right now is our top client, and expecting that to be unseated here pretty soon. But, you know, you can do this at any scale. And the beauty is that it still makes sense, even at the scale of a single unit. And I think that even more important, arguably, than the income that you generate is that you have such a window into learning about parts of our world that are changing so quickly through this vehicle. The three main ones that I would highlight being the reinvention of a financial system, the reshaping of our energy system, and the increasing rise of the importance of data centers in computing and how our world operates. You can see a lens into all of those mega trends through this single aperture of a machine and our hosting service. And that's part of my greatest passion in this, is that I never thought that I would be a passionate engineering educator, but I just found the right vehicle that made me want to share how the world works and give people a window into the mechanics behind not just how our world is designed, but how our natural systems cooperate, how we can engineer a better world. And I think this is just such a beautiful vehicle to do that in a holistic and multifaceted way.
Now, great. Let's talk about the miners themselves really quick. What kind of background? I mean, is there a level of education background? Is there credentials that someone needs? You know, background checks on something. You know, when just a purchaser is coming and making an investment, they're tapping into the miner's equipment, or they're using, you know, these certain machines. Like you said, they may never know who the individual is. So, how does someone know that maybe the person who owns this is legitimate?
So if you're talking about our customers, our clients that we serve, We have a very unique position in that we are not providing any sort of financial service. So there's no need for KYC or AML checks. This is truly just buying a computer and having a managed service IT provider as a service provider. So, you know, you can do this as an individual, you can do it as a business. There's no need to submit a lot of personally identifying information. And that's really good too, because there's been so many hacks of exchanges, other large honeypots of customer data, that when you're talking about something that compounds at, you know, 10x every few years, you can really become a target very quickly if any of your sensitive data is hacked or shared unnecessarily. And so that's part of our ethos, is that we only collect what we really need to provide our service. And if for whatever reason someone ever does get access to our systems, they wouldn't be able to tell who you are, where you live, how much coin you've mined. We can't actually even tell how much coin you've mined in most cases, unless you're asking us to help you with something on the back end for accounting. But, you know, through our direct system, it's very privacy protected. And in terms of the entry barrier, you know, it's really just capital. We have people who are in their 70s and 80s who can barely work their email, but we've been able to help them get set up with mining, as well as their inheritance plan, so that it passes to their kids or grandkids, so that they've got a legacy that they're building. We have people who are very, very on the leading edge of tech, who just trust us as a managed service provider and know exactly what we're doing, how it works, and probably could teach just as many classes as we do. But it really runs the range of sophistication, income level. I mean, we have high net worth individuals, we have private equity firms, family offices, individual investors, small businesses. I could go on and on. The variety is unbelievable.
One last thing, and then I know you actually have to hop for another appointment, but if you wouldn't mind, in closing, tell everyone here listening, what sets Abundant Minds apart from the other companies out there who are doing this exact same thing?
Well, there's a laundry list. You already highlighted one, which I'm the most proud of the experience people have with us. I think that what we do in terms of onboarding, education, management, service, and really building better investors is probably the most important thing that we do that is hard to measure, but has the most wide-ranging impacts. The other things that are a little bit more surface level, but important nonetheless, are we're in a great region where we have abundant renewable energy. We have a very stable, cool climate. So your machines run more efficiently. They need less maintenance. They don't break down as much, and they last longer. So every extra year of your investment life definitely adds to your bottom line. And we pioneered something that's very unique in the space that is called hash rate redirect. And I would say that this, when people experience it, is one of the most gratifying things to see on the other end. Usually, and this is the experience almost every other miner who's ever had hosted machines has experienced, if your machines go down, you may or may not get some kind of reimbursement in the form of a hosting credit, which is essentially just a credit to the bill that you would have paid. And what you get into mining for is not to get a discount on your bill, it's to actually be mining Bitcoin. And when you're down 5, 10, 15, or even 20% of the time in some regions, and all you get is a reimbursement on what your fees would have been, when you measure that in terms of opportunity cost and lost income, that can be the difference between it have made sense for you to get into mining and maybe should have just bought Bitcoin. So what we've pioneered is something called hash rate redirect, where if your machine is down for any length of time and goes below our guaranteed service level, we're actually redirecting the computing power from our own machines to your pool so that you continue earning all throughout. So whether you're down for a maintenance event, or we're sending your machine out for a more in-depth repair, or for any reason, if you're down for more than a couple hour span, we're actually going to redirect your own hash power so that you continue earning through that. And that is completely unique in our industry, and completely aligns us with our customers in a way that that feels really great, because as long as you're online and everything is well maintained and operating well, it means that we get to keep mining Bitcoin ourselves. I mean, we're eating our own cooking in these facilities and we want to be mining. So when client machines are down and we have to do hash rate redirect, we are very incentivized to run a tight ship and keep those things online. And unfortunately, in much of the industry, there is a hidden incentive to keep machines offline or even keep them running inefficiently because you are billed based on how much power you use. If you have a machine that's crusted up and running inefficiently and taking a ton of power and you're billed on the power usage, then that host is actually in a kind of insidious way incentivized to keep your machine dirty and running inefficiently because they're making more money off of you. And if they charge for maintenance and repairs, then you might be getting $150 an hour technician bills, like one that I got early in my career for $30,000 that left a pretty rotten taste in my mouth. So to close out, we don't do any of that. Everything is all-inclusive in the hosting fee. It's just a flat fee. It doesn't fluctuate, and it includes labor, maintenance, spare parts, cleaning, optimization, hash rate redirect, everything that you need to have a seamless, smooth mining experience so that you could peace out to Bora Bora for 60 days and know that without your input, everything is taken care of.
And I'll go ahead and end this to say that, you know, other than Bo, this is not the first time I've seen Bo. This is the first time I've seen him on the computer screen. I was blessed enough to be able to get to meet him in person in Oregon, and not just him, but when you go to their website and meet their team, I saw him. I saw almost everybody that's on your website. I got the chance to meet them, sit down and have lunch with them. And it was just a really great experience. Humbling for me as I was trying to learn. But the great thing about it is that they were able to drill it down to my level. And so when I say that if this is new for you, and there they all are there, if it's something that you want to speak with someone with almost judgment-free, you know what, that they will start at the beginning with you, they sure did with me. And that is one reason why we at American IRA decided to bring Abundant Minds and Bo to all of you. So, Bo, I know that you need to hop to your next thing, and but we do appreciate your time. Thank you so much for that. We're really privileged to have you here with us today, and we are looking forward to the next time we get together, when it's going to be a full presentation that I have no doubt that we're going to have a lot of folks tuning in. So thanks again. We look forward to seeing you soon.
It was a pleasure, and looking forward to it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We're looking forward to seeing you again. And for all of you out there, who, whenever or wherever you are listening to us, and whatever social media that you are choosing to get your podcast, feel free to like us out there. Always subscribe to us on our YouTube channel. You're always going to learn something out there. And we always enjoy being able to bring that education to you. So for everyone here at American IRA, I'm Kyle Moody. And we are signing off with another episode of the IRA Cafe, powered by American IRA. Enjoy the rest of your week.
American IRA LLC, a North Carolina LLC, acts as a third-party administrator for New Vision Trust Company, a state-chartered South Dakota trust company. As a neutral self-directed IRA administrator, American IRA does not recommend or endorse any investments, individuals, or entities, including financial representatives, promoters, or companies. American IRA and the IRA Cafe are not responsible for other statements, representations, or agreements, nor do we evaluate the quality or profitability of any investment. American IRA does not endorse guests on the IRA Cafe podcast. Guest opinions are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of American IRA, its subsidiaries, associates, or custodian. Participation in the podcast is voluntary and no compensation is provided. American IRA is not a fiduciary and cannot offer financial advice. Please consult your CPA or another professional before making financial decisions.